Hey, this is Robin.
This is Jackie.
And this is Amanda.
And you are listening to We Saw the Devil, a podcast dedicated to horror, true crime, and all things macabre. If you want to follow us between shows, don't forget to check us out online. You can go to our website at www.wesawthedevil.com. You can follow us on Instagram at We Saw the Devil Podcast or on Twitter at We Saw the Devil. And if you want to follow specific co-hosts' social media, you can find the links to those on our website as well. Hello, everyone, and welcome to part two of our Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell series. Last week, we published our first episode. Now, if you're not familiar with the case at all, or you have just no idea what in the hell we're talking about, go back and download the first episode where we give just kind of a generic overview of the case and also give you the full cast of characters. There are a lot of people involved in this case. It's actually what makes it so fascinating and has kind of gripped almost everyone. There's a subreddit for it that has several thousand people. The Facebook group has over 10,000 people in it. I mean, it is an absolute rabbit hole of epic proportions. So go back and listen to episode one if you haven't. Tonight, in this episode, is going to focus on information that has come out over the last week, right? So we have like insurance, beneficiary information, Tylee Ryan sightings, the psychics, Melanie news. I mean, the sightings in Hawaii. So we're basically going to go over just kind of all of the new leaks and informations. This case, like I said, so much stuff comes out on a regular basis. God, we could literally do almost a podcast every single day based just on solely on the information that comes out in theories. But go back to the last episode for part one, and we will be covering in this one everything that's happened from last week to now. Also, if you haven't, before we get into this and I hand it over to Amanda, if you haven't checked out our Patreon, we just got on Patreon. We have a lot of really, really, really cool tiers and benefits for listeners. We can't do this stuff without you guys. So if you are a supporter of the show, you just signed up, we would love to have your support. We have everything from choosing our show topics, the next cases that we cover, even coming on the show. I mean, hell, we'll even send you cookies, t-shirts, merch. So check out our Patreon. You'll find the link in our YouTube channel, all of our social media, and also the show notes. Depending on what platform you're listening to, you'll find it in the show notes as well. So enough of this shit. Let's get down to business. Amanda, would you like to talk about the life insurance policy of Charles Vallow?
Sure. Yeah. So it's been uncovered that Charles Vallow had a $1 million policy. And basically, he removed Lori 5 months before his death as the beneficiary. He was advised by his attorney to do so, and he changed it to his sister, Kay Woodcock.
And I know that there's a lot of speculation currently as to whether Lori knew about this, or if he told her, if it could be a driving force in, you know, him getting killed.
Right, right. And that's something, too, that there is an interview with CBS 5 and Sergeant Jason McClemens of Chandler PD. And he was saying that police did not appear to be aware of the existence of the policy. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. And then he goes on to say that everything is still pointing to self-defense, but they still have the case open and are still investigating.
Now, here's another question I have for you. Alex Cox killed Charles Vallow, claiming self-defense, right? There was a huge story about, you know, Charles supposedly hitting him in the head with a baseball bat. Apparently, Charles Vallow was also a professional ball player in college.
Right.
He was a big guy. Right. He was a big guy. So there was no significant injury after he supposedly hit Alex Cox in the head. Now, previously, more information has actually come out about Alex Cox attacking Joseph Ryan, Lori's previous husband before that and the father of Tylee Ryan, right? Sure. So apparently, Alex Cox told everyone that he believed that Joseph was molesting Tylee. So Alex Cox actually served 18 months in prison for attacking Lori, his sister's previous husband, Joseph Ryan. He claims, and he told everyone that he did it because Joseph was molesting Tylee. But regardless, he had that criminal record, right? If you spend 18 months in prison, regardless of where you are, you have a fucking criminal record. So,
agreed, yeah.
So suddenly, that's what actually over the last week has not made sense to me, is the police, if you look at the cam video, right? they don't even, I mean, they almost immediately take it on face value that it was self-defense. Like, in a lot of cases like this, they'll handcuff people. No, they just, like, calmly sat him on the curb and then made small talk.
Yeah, and they just, when they were, you know, retelling the story back to him, like, basically to get him to add more, it was very short and sweet. And he was like, yeah, we were fighting. Yeah, and then I went in the room to get the gun. And the cop even says something like, did you think to just lock your door?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think about that. I was like, okay. I don't know how they were so calm about it. I just, not that, you know, I can say police did something wrong. I don't know what, you know, the protocol is when someone just shot someone supposedly in self-defense. But I feel like they even left him there a couple times, like on the pavement.
All by himself.
Yeah, not saying he, again, he could get away. I think that was like a cul-de-sac or something weird too. There's a couple ways that they had to like park to make sure they weren't blocking traffic from being able to leave the neighborhood. Still seems very nonchalant to me, the way that they handled everything.
No, exactly. And I mean, the first thing that they would have done, right, is they would have multiple unit response, and then they would have most likely, but I researched this today, actually. And what the typical protocol is for cases like this, right? The protocol is for should have been for Alex to be handcuffed immediately and put into a police car. That is actually, law enforcement has confirmed the protocol is to handcuff the suspect because you don't know, they haven't been cleared. And then, you know, investigate the scene and go from there. And then take them, obviously, to the police station for further investigation and questioning. Also, all they had to do was run Alex's, you know, background check, like police normally do in their cruisers. Always. And they would have discovered that he spent 18 in prison for almost killing Lori's Vallow's first, you know, the previous husband. So it just seems like why, and then suddenly they were chums. And if you continue the dash cam footage, when they do finally transport Alex to the police station, they're just like chilling and talking in the police car, like, you know, having like two good friends.
And also what surfaced this week too is they uncovered a little bit of when they were talking to Lori, because before it was muted and she was like phased out a little bit, or blurred out, I should say. And now you can actually hear a couple sentences she says.
Oh, man.
And she doesn't give a shit.
She has no fucks to give.
No. And I just feel like even if it, anyone you know, whether you like them or not, you know, it's an ex-husband or, you know, they were getting a divorce. I get it. You're going to be mad. You're not going to really care too much about them on the surface. But deep down, you still care about this person.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't at all.
I mean, if you think about a lot of the like toxic, shitty relationships that you've had, unless it's trauma of the utmost degree, typically you care if they're murdered. You know what I mean? If they die, the father of your children, you know, biological or not, the man that you've spent years with, like you should care if he's dead. And instead, and I actually was just so amazed by it, is one of the things in the dash cam footage when Lori comes up and is talking to police, she was like, man, you know, we've only lived here for a couple weeks. And it's kind of like, hi, neighbors.
Yeah,
sorry about this. And then she laughed. She actually laughed out loud.
And even let's say, you know, she knew he was dead. She knew what happened already. Wouldn't you at least try to act like you cared a little bit to save your own ass? Just try a little.
And what also surfaced this week is, so Charles was murdered somewhere, what, around like 8:30 in the morning? Somewhere around there?
Around when school was starting.
Around when school was starting.
Had to take JJ, which I still don't understand too, because now I'm seeing reports that they were there present during that time. Like when he got shot, and other reports are saying she was gone taking the kids. So I don't know which one's correct. But if they were there, she's like, oh, he just got shot. Hey, JJ, let me just go ahead and take you to school real quick.
Yeah. And what? And not only that, but she took Charles's rental car.
Who does
Why
that?
Didn't she take her own car? Now, does this make sense to anyone? Charles Vallow was coming to Arizona to try to move there to be closer to his children, right? He took a rental car, drove, and had his rental car parked at Lori's house. He gets shot. Alex kills him. Lori, instead of taking her own car, then takes the keys from Charles. Did she pull them off of his corpse? Like, off of the counter? And she takes the rental car to take her child to school.
Even with, you know, they said that they had an argument before. Like, Charles and her were arguing. Tylee stepped in. Whatever may have happened, right? But still, would you take your son to school after he just witnessed a big fight between his parents? I feel like he'd be off throughout the whole day. and then, you know, taking him to school. I guess trying to follow routine, if I see the other side of it, but still, it just seems very weird.
Maybe it's just business as usual for him.
Maybe. Maybe he didn't witness it. Tylee did.
She had to have. I mean, Tylee never spoke in the cam footage, right? Like, she didn't speak.
It's muted. She says a couple things. It looks like her mouth's moving. Again, it's blurred for her face because I think because she's a minor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it looks like she is talking a little. You just can't hear it.
So okay. Dateline had a 2-hour special on this case. Mm-hmm. And they had interviews with friends of both Lori and Chad. And it seems as though, and neighbors as well, and it seems as though the day that Charles was killed, Lori actually held a pool party in that house.
That's just absolutely insane to me.
Hey, Amanda, remember the year that you had a sombrero pool party? That's what I just imagined.
Do. I'm sure my pool party was way better.
Maybe it wasn't as cheerful as this one. I mean, nothing says pool party more than fucking murder, I guess.
But, like, also, if she has this pool party planned, well, it was at that house, at that residence?
And again, here we come into conflicting reports. Some reports say that the pool party was held at Lori's house, and then others say that it was in a local neighborhood, and that Lori was kind of the facilitator and, you know, party planner of it, and then just showed up. But every single person that they interviewed said that she was happy and cheerful and acted like nothing had happened.
Doesn't murder kind of kill a party? Doesn't that kind of stop a party? I mean, what?
No, that's crazy. And just, if it was at the house, like, how long does it take to clean up, you know, a crime scene, too? Because if you look at that cam video, it looks like he was, like, leaving the kitchen almost, and he's just down on the floor with his face away, like, pointed away from the kitchen, and his feet are pointing towards the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And it is not far from the inside of the front door, either.
Not terribly far, no. And I mean, he's facing toward, well, yeah, he would have been facing towards the front door. I wonder if he was going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's not right.
No, something is definitely not right. But they also, in this Dateline interview, I find that a lot of information in the Dateline interview we covered in our first episode on this. I mean, there's really not a lot of new information in any way whatsoever. The only new information is they have personal interviews with friends of Chad and Lori, neighbors, you know, family members, things like that, right? Like, that's the only new information, but they didn't really provide any new information. Something that I found to be very interesting is that apparently Charles, right around, like, in the months preceding this, told people that if he were to die, it would not be of natural causes.
Right. Well, she had threatened him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partially why his attorney had, you know, advised him to get her off of that $1 million policy.
Mm-hmm. So multiple people, he apparently told this to multiple people, too. It wasn't just his sister, Kay, the Woodcocks, or, you know, work friends. He apparently told his lawyer, work colleagues, his family, children. He told a lot of people that he felt like he was going to die of unnatural causes. And then, lo and behold.
That's scary. Yeah, like that someone could be so fearful for their life. And there's really no precautions to take in that sense, you know, for him, mm-hmm. other than stay away. But then what? Stay away from your kid?
He changed his insurance policy, at least.
I mean, yeah, but now look, like, you know, the kid's gone, he's gone.
Yeah, everybody's gone in the story, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? If nothing else is more telltale of what is actually happening, him changing his insurance policy tells you that she was probably more than likely exhibiting behaviors of somebody who kills for their insurance policy.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And there's even interviews if you go back. I mean, I know we kind of touched on it, but when her other husband had passed away and just when his sister came out to visit them saying that she had no emotion towards it and Tylee didn't even like talk about it, like she was told not to.
Mm-hmm.
So she started exhibiting crazy behavior before they even got together.
Yeah, that's true.
She seems like a black widower who got herself mixed up with the wrong kind of guy and a doomsday cult of some sort.
Yeah.
And the shit's getting deep.
Like, not only is she a black widow, but it's a black widow who got involved in a cult of another basically male black widow. I mean, he most likely killed his own spouse. So
True love.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Woodcocks, right? So the Woodcocks have become kind of front and center. Kay Woodcock is Charles Vallow's sister. Now the Woodcocks have, they've done press releases, they're on YouTube videos, they've done interviews. And so Kay Woodcock is Charles Vallow's sister. So her son had a child, had JJ. And due to just, I guess, the difficulties of raising a child with severe autism, he decided to opt out. The Woodcocks then cared for JJ for 10 months. And then her brother, Charles, decided that he and Lori had gotten married. They didn't have any children of their own. So he said, Lori, I would love to adopt him and he can be our own child. So that is what happened. Charles Vallow adopted his sister's son's child.
Right. We need a map for that.
We need a map for that. So that is how JJ is related to the family. I know that there's been a lot of speculation. Well, whose child is JJ? The weird part about it is that we don't actually have a name, to my knowledge. I've gone down this rabbit hole. I've researched a lot. No one knows who JJ's father is. And he's related biologically to this family.
I'm sure they're just not throwing his name around because he probably wants either nothing to do with it or just doesn't want all of the press attacking him like they are all of the other family members and friends.
Let's talk about the other family members. So it looks like over the last week, since all of this shit has, you know, kind of come out into the ether, that Chad Daybell's family, in particular his children, are getting hardcore dragged in the media. One daughter in particular, I believe her name is Emma, media, they're in Rexburg, Idaho. I mean, the media circus there is insane. So most of the family, right, and we're talking Melanie and her new husband, we're talking both sides of this family, the Lori's and Chad's, they all live in this one particular area, like a townhouse area, right? All of them, even Chad Daybell's children, live in this one little complex area. And Emma, this one daughter, she's married, has her own family. But every time the media tries to talk to her or ask her questions, she's just smiling and flipping them off.
Wow. Professional.
It's like there are literally children missing. That's why this entire case has blown so wide open as it has, is because there are two missing children and people who don't give a shit. And she's so just, you know, nonchalant about it. She's just laughing, smiling, and flipping off the camera.
I see kind of both sides of, like, imagine not being able to go anywhere without someone asking you a question or taking pictures of you or, you know, I mean, they at least his kids don't seem like they're associated with any of the nonsense.
They are, unfortunately. It has been confirmed that all of his children are, in fact, in this cult, though.
Oh, no. I mean, just with, like, the disappearances and things like that. Yeah, they may be part of whatever religion, cult, whatever they want to call it. But, you know, it doesn't seem like they were present during a lot of this.
You know, honestly, I'm not putting that outside of the realm of possibility, considering that they all live in the same complex that Chad and Lori lived in. You know, when the kids supposedly got to Idaho, they were around Chad Daybell's children. So,
I mean,
like,
yeah, I mean, they could be harboring them too, for all we know.
Yeah, for all we know. I mean, I'm not obviously, like, you know, pointing fingers or making assumptions, but, you know, right, just
but
saying.
But no proof.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have no proof or evidence of how that side of the family plays into this quite yet. The spotlight so far has been pretty much solely on Alex.
Right. So we could talk a little bit about him, too. His marriage certificate to Zulima Pastinas, I could be saying that one wrong, too, came out. And then also on the certificate, it shows that he was taking her last name.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. And then where they got married, it was called Chapel of Love. The owner, Sebastian Salas, remembers basically arranging the marriage, but his minister remembered the mood. So what his minister had said was what stuck out during the ceremony was the lack of emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding was no more than 8 minutes, and the only witness was a security guard. So they just came alone. It was very cold, and it seemed like it was business. They just wanted to get in and get out.
Mm-hmm.
So sounds like a fantastic wedding.
Don't forget that Melanie also same weekend got married to Ian Pilowski. Now, Melanie, if you recall, is Lori's niece, also in the cult. You know, she and Alex were really, really close. And long story short, you know, Melanie has the ex-husband, Brandon, who was shot at. I mean, this case is fucking batshit. But Melanie and Alex both went to Las Vegas to remarry. Melanie remarried just a couple weeks after she filed for divorce, or the divorce was finalized with Brandon, and Alex got married as well. By all accounts, both marriages are from people who were from Rexburg, Idaho. So they flew from Rexburg, you know, from Idaho to Las Vegas to get married to fellow cult members. So you have weird shit going on in Arizona. Alex Cox being treated strangely. You have the stuff in Rexburg, right? I mean, it is, and by all accounts, people who live in or near Rexburg claim that it is hardline, not necessarily the cult, but it is hardline Mormon, and it's the far right offshoot. It's not like Salt Lake City, Utah level of Mormon. It's the we're too, you know, conspiratorial and conservative to be a regular Mormon. And Rexburg, Idaho is actually kind of like a community for these people.
There's also an article from Daily Mail that says basically Chad Daybell claimed that his first wife helped to find new love from beyond the grave. Ugh. So she had a hand in that.
It's really interesting. And there are a lot of clips now surfacing of Chad Daybell's podcast, of interviews, of him talking about his books. And he actually, Chad Daybell is apparently in this group. He's considered like a prophet of sorts.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's really, really, really strange. So for Lori, right, like in this cult, which we don't know exactly how many members they have, but Chad Daybell is like the Barack Obama of this cult in level of popularity. He's not the founder, but like he's pretty much like the god of the group.
Well, and then just kind of a tie off too. I know last week we had mentioned the 911 call with Joseph Lopez after finding Alex in that bathroom. Mm-hmm. It was released. So the actual 911 call was released last week, I think while we were actually recording. I think that's when everything was being kind of uploaded. So we got to look through a transcript. But when you listen to the actual 911 call now, it is just so callous and very, very strange. Mm-hmm. He has no idea. And he didn't even have any, he seemed like he didn't have any want, you know, to help. He was just like, kind of like poking him. That's what I have in my head is like, he was like, dude, like, wake up. The 911 operator asks him to do a couple things to try to help. And every time he had like a rebuttal, like a reason why he couldn't, or a you know, very just not quick, like, okay, I'll do whatever it takes. It was, I could try, I guess.
Yeah. There's no sense of urgency or wanting to help in any way.
Mm-mm. That's not suspicious.
It really does. And just that he calls Alex his mom's boyfriend instead of husband. And so I felt like that still stands out. And now after hearing it too, it just stands out even more.
Is there any background on that at all? As far as, well, first of all, the autopsy, right? So didn't they say the autopsy has been done? And how long do they say for the results? It hasn't been released yet.
I can't find it. I did check. So with Arizona, for Maricopa County, they have a medical examiner case file database online. So you can actually type in Alex Cox's information, date of death, all of that. And it still just says pending on everything. And it says the report is not ready. And that's as of February 8th, 18th.
That's interesting.
That it was checked.
How often? I wonder how soon they actually update the database.
I don't know. I mean, I've been checking and it's very basic. But I'm wondering, you know, once the report's ready, if you'll be able to click on it. But I mean, his case number's on here now. Like when you put in his details, I just put in, you know, Alexander Cox and then the date of his death. Mm-hmm. And then it populated with some more information, like the case number for it, his middle name and all of that. But even like manner of death says pending. And then medical examiner report ready, no. Primary cause of death pending. So nothing's filled out yet. I guess every day I'll just keep checking that site to see if there's any new information. I don't know how frequently it's updated or, you know, if they're going to at least update it to finish, like the report's updated, but you can't download it. I don't know. Same thing with Tammy Daybell's autopsy too. I know that they've performed it already, but I can't even find a site to actually look it up and see what the status is.
Yeah, and I saw that law enforcement said that it could take up to a full year for her autopsy results to be made public.
What? That's so long.
I don't understand. Why a year?
Well, I also saw, too, that I guess this can go to our next update, but a lot of people are saying that Lori Vallow is, you know, following everything online, too. And maybe that might be why they're so secretive with certain things, because if she got wind of something coming, that she either may hide or kill herself. So that, the next point. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, not to interrupt. That is definitely a piece that I would like to discuss, you know, the possible outcome. But I'm not surprised. I mean, that's what psychopaths do. So if any of you guys have followed the case out of South Carolina, the 6-year-old Faye Swetlick went missing, and it ended up basically a man in their apartment complex ended up kidnapping, raping, and murdering the 6-year-old little girl. Apparently, he joined all the Facebook groups, he joined the Reddit groups, and he was following and even commenting on people.
That's disgusting.
You know, searching and, oh my God, we need to find this little girl. We need to find this little girl. And he would like comments of people saying that and literally join private groups.
No.
Yeah.
That's awful. That is like the worst of the worst.
Yeah. But it definitely seems like Lori does not care at all.
No.
Based on her demeanor even. So that's another thing too. So if you don't follow Nate Eaton, I highly suggest you do so. He's the news director for East Idaho News, and his Twitter account is Nate News Now. And he has got like, so when Lori and Chad were in Hawaii and leaving, you know, firsthand pictures, I mean, people there in the airport and at the Hertz car rental counter, you know, were snapping pictures of them and so on and so forth. And Nate has a lot of these pictures, almost like Justin, is it Lum?
Yeah.
From Phoenix.
Justin Lum of Fox 10. Well, that's a good point to bring up. So yeah, the couple was spotted on the move again. So at an airport, witnesses are saying that the couple flew from Kauai to Maui, and there's a picture circulating of them at the car rental service counter.
Yes, and Lori does not care. She and Chad, now if you look at their body language and whatnot, she and Chad are pretty much just like standing side by side. They're not talking, but they don't exactly look displeased either.
No, they don't look stressed. They just look calm, collected. We just got off a flight, and no one knows too if that was a one way or, you know, a round trip flight. So who knows what island they are going to stay on, if they're going to go back, if they're coming back over here, who knows?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've been caught in the grocery store, too, since since
Costco.
Last week. Costco, they were caught at Costco. And same thing, like emotion, you know, relatively emotionless. Although some people have actually said that they were, quote, lovey-dovey.
Ugh, gross.
As well.
Well, kind of to circle back, though, when I was saying she's been checking information about herself. A lot of people are speculating that that's why she keeps logging into JJ's old school as well. So this was actually, I know we just mentioned Justin Lum of Fox 10. This was also on his Facebook. But Life Academy says Lori Vallow accessed their application, which is a classroom communication system that the school uses between the classroom and the parents, 7 times since JJ was unenrolled, which was in early September. So one login was as early as about 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Now, what information is she getting when she logs on? Any idea?
Just like they said, it's just classroom to parents. But like, I wonder if she was just looking to go, are they talking about me? They know he was in the class, you know, just paranoia would be my guess. But they have now, the school has removed her access rights. But on each post, I guess, I mean, it makes sense too. One of the posts was like, you know, this, the school will be closing early for whatever. And it shows the parents that have seen it. So it's like, no, you knew, you saw it. but it has like a little thing that the teachers can see who saw their post, and she's been on it.
Wow.
So I don't know what she hopes to gain from, you know, a kid's school, but my only guess is maybe someone, she was seeing if someone was talking about her or giving any information or input about her on there for some reason, because it almost seems like they, you know, they can interact on it as well. So maybe. Well,
I definitely think that there's we have some room for speculating, you know, after we go through a couple other items as far as happenings, revelations and whatnot. I definitely think there's room for speculation of what could be the outcome of all of this based on their behavior. You know,
agreed.
That's crazy. Now, also over the last week, you know, like I said, follow News Eaton Nate Eaton, Nate News Now on Twitter. So he has a lot of people who are on Twitter, right? Like the Twitterverse, have been messaging him and tweeting him pictures of Lori and Chad for Hawaii. You know, people who knew them are messaging their firsthand accounts. And so if you're on Twitter as your primary social media platform, that's probably the best resource there. I would say for Facebook, there is Justin Lum. Amanda, you're kind of more local to the area. Do you know, you said Fox News 10?
Yep, Fox 10. And now, actually, now that you're talking about Nate Eaton, as of 3 hours ago, so again, this is, we're recording on February 18th. Mm-hmm. After 48 hours in Maui, the Daybells are back in Kauai. So it was a round trip. They have pictures of them on the plane and looks like walking with their bags.
Interesting. So that was a quick round trip.
Yeah. Okay. So there's an update already. See, while we're recording, just the moment we put this out, there's probably going to be an update in the morning. So I know we had a couple comments on the first this video on YouTube of this saying, oh, you forgot this. And yeah, every day there's going to be new information. So we'll add it as it comes up.
Yes. If you're on Facebook and that's your primary, right? The group Christmas Misery, Tylee Ryan and Joshua Vallow Gone Without a Trace. That is the largest group on Facebook dedicated to this case. Again, that's right. Christmas Misery, Tylee Ryan and Joshua Vallow Gone Without a Trace. It has almost 10,000 members and a lot of people from Rexburg, Idaho are actually in that group as well, kind of discussing things. Again, I would like to preface everything with it is social media. People can be whoever they want to be and say whatever they want to say. So take everything with a grain of salt, you know, like some people have shared photos. Like there was one woman shared photos and she was Lori's neighbor. And she's actually showing photos of her and Lori at another pool party one day. And so it's really interesting just to see kind of behind the curtain, you know, into like little glimpses of these people's lives. But again, take everything in most posts with a grain of salt.
Exactly. And if you do see some interesting information, try to replicate it. Google it. See if you can find an actual source for whatever they're saying. Because there's been a couple times where I'm like, that's really interesting. But I can't find anything real to prove that correct.
Or yeah, exactly.
Authentic. Mm-hmm. So just be careful with what you're reading.
Exactly. Let's see. Okay, so moving kind of on to outside the circle, I would like to talk about really quickly Julie Rowe.
Okay.
Julie Rowe published the first few of Chad Daybell's books. She's in the same cult. Now, the interesting part, so Chad Daybell, this cult seems to revolve around, like, at least the publishing aspect of this cult, right, seems to revolve around people who have had near-death experiences, who've died, right, and then they have visions, and then when they come back they believe that there's some sort of like hierarchy, you know, on the spiritual ladder. So Julie Rowe published Chad Daybell's first few books. They had a very, very, very good relationship. Same situation. She's also an author, a guide, motivational speaker, so on and so forth. I would also like to add that she is batshit fucking insane. She is batshit. If you really want to go down the rabbit hole of like, what the fuck, go on YouTube and watch some of her like car diaries, right? Like it's all about her past lives and all of her prophecies, and she's insane. That being said, so like literally from say November to like January or December through January, this is not the Chad I know. Chad is, you know, a god. He's perfect. He's not like this. The media needs to stop and be nice to him. Also, over the last week since we recorded, Julie Rowe put out a new statement. And she put out a blog on her website, julieroeprepare.com.
Oh, no.
Right. And she completely went back. She said, in light of the various media reports regarding Chad Daybell, I feel it necessary for me to clarify my associations with Chad, both present and past and present. I'll let you go if you want to read the full statement. But she does say, and basically talk about, quote, over the course of the last 18 to 24 months, I witnessed significant changes in Chad. His beliefs began to go in a direction that troubled me. As I disagreed with him more and more about what he was experiencing, our relationship deteriorated and became distant. Now, okay, so she's talking about the last 18 to 24 months, how he went crazy and they, you know, disintegrated. But yet, literally for the last 5 months, she's been defending him and talking him up.
Yeah, so, she probably got attacked online or, you know, something where they're like, no, people are missing. This is serious. And she's like, oh, I said the wrong thing.
Yep. But she is fucking insane. And she's, again, looped. I mean, based on her website, julieroeprepare.com, she's looped into all of this stuff. But keep in mind, too, that if you're kind of new to the case and you're not fully familiar with the cast of characters quite yet, Julie Rowe is not a good one. She's not a reliable source. Yes, she knew Chad Daybell firsthand. They had a working relationship together, but she is insane. So do not give her the time of day. What else do you have, Amanda? What update over the last week?
Another update is they found Tylee's phone. Mm-hmm. And surprise, surprise, it was with Lori. So, you know, those Venmo things, the payments that we talked about last week, the text to the friend, those were probably Lori.
So sad. Mm-hmm. Which also, as soon as they read that, it's kind of like that, oh no, feeling.
Right. Well, like a 17-year-old without their phone.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, when they get grounded from their phone, the world is over? Can you imagine months of no communication?
Mm-hmm.
She would be going crazy.
Yeah.
So, and especially, like, you know, with her best friend. And when you were mentioning the Facebook group, too, the friend's mom. So, Tylee's best friend's mother is in that group and posts information occasionally as well. But that kind of, I think when they found the phone, was like, okay, how is she functioning without it? She's either being held against her will or she's been dead.
Well, let's also talk about Tylee. So, also that came out just a couple days ago, actually. So a woman believes that she actually saw Tylee at a concert in my home city of Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So the concert itself took place on December 22nd, right? So apparently this woman, her name is Sarah Elrod Osbrook. I'll call her Sarah. So Sarah and her husband went to this concert to Nashville, and she said she met a girl named Amy. And she said that Amy was with a man and a woman in their 60s, and they claimed to be from out west. Then apparently this girl would answer her, and then the older couple would give her nasty looks or whisper to her. And basically it was very awkward. Amy was talking to this woman, being, you know, kind of awkward, making small talk. And then all of a sudden, the older couple text messages the girl, even though they're sitting side by side, they text her. And then the girl was taken to the bathroom. So apparently she came back from the bathroom silent, completely different. She said,
Didn't sing, didn't act like she was 15 minutes prior.
Exactly. Completely, completely different. Sarah said she was extremely reserved. I mean, it was like someone stitched her mouth shut. It was completely out of character. So, correct me if I'm wrong. So what happened is that the concert, you know, they ended up leaving. But before, Sarah claims that she took a napkin with a crayon that she just happened to have and gave it to this girl and said, you know, if you need help, you know,
write a note. Well, I guess that's part of like what she does for a living, though.
Yeah.
Is she helps people that, what was it, sex trafficking or kidnapped or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting thing to know. I've never thought about that. But they leave crayons and pieces of paper in bathrooms so that if a victim of some sort can, you know, at least get away for a moment to use the restroom, there's a way to write a message.
Yep.
So she claims that she put it in her coat pocket, hoping that there'd be a message somewhere. Because she seemed like she was in trouble. So even if it isn't Tylee, like, this poor girl seems like she might be in trouble.
And the woman says that she didn't realize until just recently that it could have been Tylee. And then she apparently promptly contacted the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the FBI, and the Rexburg, Idaho police.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the FBI was the first to finally return her call.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I guess other couples at that table that they sat at also agreed that it looked like Tylee.
And then I also read other reports, like actual news interviews with people who said that they were with Sarah, you know, like the woman who reported it, and that nothing like that took place.
Interesting. And so it might just be her trying to get her
minute of fame.
5 minutes of fame. Yeah. But if it was still on the other end of it, if it was someone in trouble, it gave, I mean, like myself, it gave someone, oh, that's something you could do if you see someone that looks like they're in an odd situation. As simple as that, Most people carry a pen and a piece of paper in their purse.
Now, a lot of information that we have gotten is actually from Annie Cushing. Now, Annie Cushing is related biologically to this family. Mm-hmm. And she says herself on her site that the Tylee sighting is not credible in any way.
Wow.
So I'm not sure how she would know that, but Annie Cushing says that it's not a credible sighting.
And that is Tylee's aunt.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
That is correct.
Yeah. And her daughter have been on social media quite a bit sharing her site. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So her site has the list of events, when everything took place, at least from their recollection or through texts and emails and that sort of thing. And she is on Twitter. And then I've seen her daughter talking about it on Instagram, but mainly just saying, see my mom's site.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's true. What she's doing is incredible, too, is that she, like me, is a data analyst, you know, person for career. And so she has her professional website up, and then she just dedicated her whole blog. You can go to her Annie. It's annielytics.com, AnnieLytics.com. And under her blog, and it's ongoing too. Like she's updated it today. I'm sorry, the 13th. She updated it the 13th and with pictures of Lori and Chad from the Costco that we were discussing earlier. So she's actively updating this. Amanda, didn't you mention that Annie is also going to be on Dr. Phil?
Yeah, there was a post, and give me one moment and I'll read it to you. Annie's daughter, Destiny, put this up on Instagram, and she posted, I think it's a picture of her. She is a vintage hairstylist, makeup artist, and swing dancer, so she does a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think it's her with, you know, her hair done and everything. I could be wrong, though. But anyways, it's a picture, and it says, how I feel as my mom, Annie Cushing, jets off to L.A. today to appear on the Dr. Phil show to bring awareness to my missing cousin's case. The story is finally starting to get the attention it deserves between the two-hour Dateline special and now Dr. Phil. Mm-hmm. I so appreciate and respect her for putting herself out there to be an advocate for my cousin, Tylee Ryan. My uncle Joe Ryan was Lori's third husband and Tylee's dad. My mom honestly hates every minute of it. She does not like the spotlight, and it's a big sacrifice for her. She inspires me every day with her selflessness. So, a sweet post.
No, that's really, really super sweet. But she's doing a lot for the case, and she's confirming or denying little details too that people, because this case has definitely created a rumor mill of like epic proportions.
Yeah, agreed.
So check out analytics.com to keep up with that. The aunt, and she seems to be like really legit and really has her heart in the right place.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I even went through the posts on Twitter about her site, because I'll admit it, I was skeptical of her at first.
We both were.
it seemed very strange, you know, someone just trying to drive traffic to their site. And I was like, watch, the site was put up as soon as the news story started flowing. Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean, it's very close, but it's a month before. But that Dateline, I think it was Dateline or some of the interviews lately, mm-hmm. it matches her information. So I think it does check out.
No, definitely. Using her as a source, I believe that a lot of it is more accurate, too.
Now, do we have, before we go to some of the speculations this week, do we have any other updates that you wanted to say?
A couple here. So, Melanie Boudreau, right? She's the niece of Lori. You know, mm-hmm. I mentioned it earlier. She was married to Brandon. She and Brandon were having problems. Melanie basically got roped into this cult bullshit by Lori. And then suddenly someone shot at Brandon. That someone was supposedly Alex Cox, right? So it came out this week, too, on Inside Edition that Melanie, remember, also got remarried in Las Vegas and moved from Arizona to Idaho. Now, she has children, right? So basically what happened is that she said she didn't give a shit if she had the kids or not when she and Brandon were divorcing, if you recall our last episode. So she ends up going to Idaho, and Brandon keeps the kids. So they're kind of in the middle of like a custody battle, right? Well, Brandon ends up, because after someone attempted to shoot him, he obviously is fearing for his life. So he goes off the grid entirely, and in an attempt to keep the kids safe, he goes back and forth from like his parents' and his grandparents' houses and so on and so forth. Well, Melanie was arrested twice for trespassing. For criminal trespassing. So she has a court date for the criminal trespassing, as well as a custody dispute. And that court date is coming up in the next month. So I wonder if Brandon is going to have to come out of hiding in order to attend this thing.
I'm sure. Because, yeah, didn't she get arrested for, like, trying to take her kids?
Yeah, she got arrested. And the 911 call, you can listen to it actually on YouTube. You know, his, I believe, father is like, get out of my house. Get the fuck out of here. And... it's intense. These people are very intense.
I don't understand why they want more kids. Like, you know, Lori got rid of hers.
Yeah.
What do they want to do with these kids?
Right. Speaking of Lori getting rid of her kids, we discussed in the first episode of this case the storage facility, right? So the storage locker came up. A private investigator 3 days ago shared new details on basically what they pulled out of it.
Anything new that we didn't mention? I know I had seen those videos last week.
So in their first episode, we discussed the storage unit, right? And about how they were seen, Lori and Alex were seen removing things from the storage unit. We speculated on what things could be. Well, they left, right? They went to Hawaii. Well, Lori ended up going to Hawaii. So the police have actually released the list of items that were left behind, okay?
Okay.
So among these items, a photo album with pictures of JJ and Tylee, a literal photo album dedicated to just the children, child sports equipment, a backpack with JJ's initials, which people have confirmed was his like main backpack that he used for school, blankets showing photos of the children, one had pictures of JJ and Tylee, just all children's baseball bats, 2 bicycles. It was all children's stuff, all of it.
Was there anything of theirs as well, or was it only children's?
I have not seen a statement from law enforcement saying it was, you know, there were no adult items in there, but even like every article and quote from law enforcement literally pretty much says that it seems that they left all of their children's stuff. They also indicate and make it sound like every photo album that say a family would have, right, of their children for both children were left in that storage locker, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos of both children.
And that's also a statement right there. We're done with these kids. We don't need anything of theirs anymore.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
So it literally seems like they specifically left everything and just kind of like, well, we're done with them. We're just leaving every remnant of them behind.
So weird.
So that also came out over the last couple of days. And then Melanie as well, right? So Melanie, the niece, when she ended up moving and leaving Arizona for Idaho, you know, she's apparently tried to criminally trespass multiple times, but she also left all of her children's stuff behind.
Weird.
In Arizona. So she was from Chandler, and on October 31st and November 1st, she was packing to move up to Rexburg. She and Brandon had already, you know, broken up and everything. Alex Cox helped her move, and they literally left every child's item just on the curb, all of it.
I don't understand why.
So
they're not even denying anything.
No.
They're just not saying anything.
I'm not commenting.
Which is such a weird tactic to me. But I mean, they're winning right now, you know? They're hanging out on beaches of Hawaii.
They're definitely not winning in the court of public opinion on them, but they're definitely winning currently. Like Amanda said in our first episode on this, the photographer, the wedding photographer, right, when they got married, he's suing and trying to keep the photos off of everything, but it's on YouTube. It's all over. People have made
full complications. Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. Everyone saved them.
Yeah, people have made full compilation videos and uploaded it to YouTube. So you can watch, you know. But let's mention the one last piece before we go into speculation mode, right? Is the amount of psychics coming into this case, which I'm assuming happens with every major case.
Right.
But there have been some special ones.
There have.
My favorite thing so far, right, has been a comment from law enforcement, and they're like, the amount of psychic, you know, because they're acting on tips. Apparently, there's like six full-time police officers in Rexburg dedicated to this case, plus the FBI, right?
Good.
So cool, but they have to chase down all the leads, you know? So if someone calls or a psychic calls and they're like, I'm getting a vision and it, you know, of X, Y, and Z at this location, they are doing their best to try to like run down on all these leads. My favorite comment from law enforcement was, man, why can't just psychics just see the same place?
Well, and that's the thing, whether you believe in psychics or not, there are several that have been brought in for certain cases that have actually assisted in investigations and, you know, moved it forward. So again, do I believe in every psychic? No. Do I believe someone might understand things a little bit better than the average person? I think so. So
it has, you know, psychics have assisted on criminal cases many, many times. And if you know me or listen to our previous episodes, you know that I am like the world's biggest skeptic and I don't believe in, you know, the paranormal and things like that. But there is, in fact, a reason why our military has parapsychology units. And likewise, there is a reason why police departments, you know, actually hire and contract people with abilities, right? Because it has, in fact, actually assisted with criminal cases. But there is one in particular, and I'm going to actually, she's had 13,000 views so far. Her YouTube, and I highly suggest, it's a fascinating watch, right? It's a fascinating watch.
Right.
She claims that she has like a 90% accuracy with evidentiary thoughts or visions, I guess, like evidentiary visions.
Yeah.
And
just the way she interprets things, she said. It's pretty good.
Yeah, she says that basically that she, you know, connects with them. I'll let you form your own opinion. I'm not going to make a give commentary on how I feel, but she did an entire overview of the case and tried to connect with them, and she has a lot of information. She claims that, you know, basically she sees things. She's shown places, locations, or clues, and she just relays them. She's not there to be like, I know exactly what happened, this X, Y, and Z. She's just shown things, and she communicates it.
And I like that she's like, I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, like, she's not, this is it, this is how I feel, and whatever. She's very open about, my interpretation could be wrong. This is what I see. So I'm telling you what I see. Mm-hmm. And then I'm kind of telling you how I interpret it. But I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So,
but her name, if you want to watch her channel, is Psychic Reverend Donna Serafina Mediumship. Her name is Donna Lambert. And she has done EVP sessions. She's done a pendulum reading session. But the video in particular that I'm talking about has had 13,000 views. It was posted 3 days ago, and it's called Missing Idaho Children's Psychic Overview to Date. And it's really, 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 really fascinating. In this video, she claims that she has connected with Tylee, Charles, and Tammy, right? That they literally came to her. She says that she has not been able to connect with JJ. She says that she can't feel his energy, can't connect with him. She makes a lot of statements, and I'll let you kind of watch for yourself. But Amanda, what thoughts did you have on her video?
So, weird things, just psychics, mediums in general. I love hearing their stories and, you know, them being proven right or wrong, their interpretations, everything. And there's some that I'm like, okay, that's ridiculous. Absolutely not. And then some where I'm like hooked. And she's one of the ones where I'm like, very much, I watched the entire video the moment.
Same.
You know, I saw it. And her emotion in here, I feel like, is very real. And again, she could be a fantastic actress. I don't know. But some of the things that she said, people within the comments have found connections. And then on top of that, what I do when I see an interesting comment is I try to dissect it and I try to find this connection again, with other sources, and a few of them I can't explain. So, and of course, they're not proven yet. It's just odd coincidences.
Sure.
I guess, right? Who knows? Who knows? I'm hoping she's wrong, but then in a sense, I'm like, well, I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have more details quickly and to understand what happened? But yes, I do have a couple things that stood out to me. She mentioned that the kids, unfortunately, they've passed. They're dead. They were murdered. the way that she talks about JJ is she sees him, I think it was JJ, or she saw a body basically in a black bag with ropes tied around it. Mm-hmm. And she believes that he is near a river or lake. Mm-hmm. And she talks about it. It's a very long video, but she talks about how, like, the river feeds into the lake at a certain point. She also saw a two-story cabin where the second story was added later, or possibly a lake house. And she very much describes it in detail. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, weird thing, and I saw it kind of in the comments, and then I had to, you know, look around for it too. But there is a Web Sleuth thread, so websleuth.com, and there's another timeline, a very, very in-depth timeline, I should say, where it talks about on August of 2014, Chad's mom rented a large cabin in Island Park, Idaho, mm-hmm. for an extended family vacation trip. And then on this Idaho trip, Chad hears a voice say, "You'll live here soon." And then it actually sources its material. It has a link to his blog. So then when you go to his blog on September 9, 2015, there is an entire blog article about this cabin and everything. So a couple people actually Googled this area, and it actually matches up with how she's describing the water.
That's true.
So that was kind of an odd, like, you know, you get goosebumps. You're like, oh my gosh, this. What if this is right? It also says Tylee was murdered. At some point, she got hit in the head by something.
Yeah, it seems like she says that that Tylee had no idea that anything was happening to her, that it completely took her off guard. It seems like Tylee was in some sort of like new development area, like a new building that was coming up,
like, and that house build.
Like a new house build, and that she was hit in the face with like a plank or wood or something, and that's all I gathered from that.
And that there's some evidence, either she said like a shoebox in a mound, but who knows if that's true. But wouldn't it be really, really strange if it was?
She's the, as far as like psychics, you know, in that particular aspect of the case, she seems to be kind of like the biggest one, you know, on this so far. She does say that the bodies were, I mean, I don't know any other way to put it other than that they were dissected, cut into pieces.
And well, she says that it's too gross to talk about, but she like,
insinuates.
She says a couple times. That's my interpretation of what she's trying to say without actually saying it. But she also says, like, for the sake of the families that may eventually listen to this, she's trying to choose her words very carefully. But she does say, she's like, it's gross. I don't even want to talk about it. It's gross.
I watched another one of her videos, and she does say, I forgot the exact wording, so please don't quote me, but she does insinuate that the bodies were destroyed, basically. And so,
well, she talks about a deep freezer too at one of them, and she says that they were disposed of separately, where they passed separately. It wasn't like the same time.
And she gets really emotional, and that's actually something that, you know, like I said, I have very strong thoughts on things like this, but she does seem at least very genuine. So she must be a great actress if none of this is true. But basically, she tries to connect with them and speak directly to them. And she says that Tylee, Chad, and Tammy are very, very interested and want the truth to come out. But she said that Tylee in particular is just so devastated and never saw any of this coming.
Yeah, she asks her at one point, do you have a message for your mom? And she just said she saw blood running or dripping, like that.
Yeah. And then same thing with Tammy. She asked Tammy, and that was actually really sad. She supposedly asked Tammy, do you have any information for your, you know, family, or, you know, any message? And she said, just know that it, don't let this define you, basically, to her children.
Oh, for her kids. Yeah. And then that's when she like kind of lost it. I felt really bad.
I did too.
But yeah, Tammy told her that Chad was thinking that he was doing her a favor because she'd be humiliated if all the other stuff came to surface. She also requests it several times in the video that she wants to do readings with anyone connected to the case. So any of the family members of the deceased, friends, whoever, so that she can verify some information that only someone that would have met them would know.
Yes.
So at one point she does like this weird thing with her fingers, and she's like, Tylee does this. And, you know, everyone has kinds of a weird thing, how they move their hands or how they, you know, I don't know, how they hold themselves. And only someone that's met them would even notice it. If someone that knows Tylee confirms that, I think that would be very eerie.
No, it would. And she does that multiple times through all of her videos on this, is begging people to come forward who knew them personally or who were involved. So
right. But I like that she gives the information first and then says, can you confirm that, instead of contact me and then, you know, later, oh, I see this. Is mm-hmm. that right? Mm-hmm. It's more, this is what I see. Take it or leave it. Interpret it how you will. I think it's this, but you tell me if I'm right.
Exactly.
So I appreciate that part of it. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that stood out actually the most in this video, and I mean, I shouldn't say the most because the kids honestly did, but Tammy, the way that Tammy just, or how she speaks for Tammy, is very much, I feel like, what a mother would say, mm-hmm. that she doesn't want her kids to feel guilty for not supporting Chad once he goes to jail. Mm-hmm. She also mentioned, and this is kind of what we've said a couple times, is that Lori and Chad have practiced a double suicide via poison mm-hmm. in Hawaii. Yes. So if they're going to be arrested, they need to be arrested without prior warning, which we've already speculated that. We've said, I think they might kill themselves before they get caught.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's interesting.
And she also confirmed that Tammy also supposedly confirmed to her that she was, in fact, poisoned.
Correct. With and that's mercury. My big point.
Yeah, with mercury and another...
octopus venom.
Yes.
She said she saw mercury, but the poison was octopus venom. And that is very random. Mm-hmm. That is not anything you'd expect anyone to say someone was poisoned with. However, that got my attention, so I went on a Google mission. Now, I didn't even know octopus could have venom, so I guess all octopi have venom, but few are fatally dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I went down a rabbit hole here, and let's say, what if this is right? So the greater blue-ringed octopus is considered to be one of the most venomous animals known. Mm-hmm. It uses the neurotoxin tetrodotoxin, and I may be saying that right or wrong. I am the worst. So anyways, so a neurotoxin, we'll just say,
yeah,
which quickly causes respiratory arrest. Now, if you look at some of those articles of when Tammy died, he states that she had almost like a coughing fit before yeah. she went to bed. That would come in line with it, right? Mm-hmm. However, I'm sure getting octopus venom from this particular octopus isn't an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I then Googled about the neurotoxin. Well, per Wikipedia, it is also found in pufferfish, porcupinefish, ocean sunfish, and triggerfish. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone that's visited a saltwater fish store has seen pufferfish. Mm-hmm. You can easily purchase a pufferfish, pay in cash, and there would be nothing. Now, pufferfish is highly toxic. They are also a delicacy in certain countries, but only served by very experienced chefs because it can easily kill someone very yeah. quickly, mind you. Now, again, going down this horrible rabbit hole, pufferfish are freaking cute. They're adorable. And I sat through a video of how to prepare one, and I almost puked, and I was very sad. But I did learn a lot. So the most toxic part of this fish is the liver, then the kidney, then the heart, the eyes, and the brain. So not saying Chad had any sort of like skills in cooking, you know, but what if he did obtain one of these puffer fish? And I mean, all of the guts for the most part are highly toxic mm-hmm. and could kill someone. I think it was like within 12 to 17 minutes mm-hmm. if the dose was high enough. Okay, so symptoms typically develop within 30 minutes of ingestion, and they present themselves 17 minutes. Oh, sorry, hold on. Oh, if it was a fatal dose, then within 17 minutes of ingestion. So what if somehow he took parts of this fish and put it in, let's say, her dinner? I don't know. That's high speculation. That's craziness. But it caught my attention, so I did some digging. And then I also... We have a friend who worked at a saltwater fish store for years. So I also called him earlier and was like, hey, this is the second time I've called him about fish due to this podcast, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I was like, tell me about pufferfish. How common are they? How toxic are they? And from what he was saying, it's fairly easy to obtain one. I would love one as a pet. I think they're cute. I don't want to hurt them. But just that video of just how easy it is to accidentally kill someone trying to serve them this food and how easy it is to obtain. And then I guess it's not so uncommon to die from this type of neurotoxin either. So just saying, if that comes up in her toxicology report, I will be definitely blown away.
It will definitely make me a believer. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. So anything else before you want to get to speculating?
Oh, I thought this was speculation right here with the psychic, but
I mean, as far as like what you think possibly happened.
No, I think that's all the things that I've read this week. And who knows, you know, in the morning there could be 10 new updates.
I'm sure by the time we record an update next week, the entire story will have gone down a, you know, weird path.
Right. I'm hoping it's just solved soon. I'm hoping that no more of the speculation, just facts. I think I'm just hoping for the autopsy reports to finally show something. But then also, if I see what the autopsy reports show, I'm sure Lori and Chad have seen it as well. And I'm kind of worried that we'll never know where the kids are.
Mm-hmm. I will say this every single week, but it seems to be getting like the pieces of information that drizzled out this week. I want to stay positive, you know, as far as the children. But to recap, Tylee's phone was found with Lori. You know, the items left in the storage locker, police have confirmed that it's all the kids' items. I mean, things are not really
the service dog. That was such a big thing, because if it was helping, you know, if it was helping your kid and your kid was still alive, why would you take that family member? And I mean, I hate using that word, but it really is, you know, the tool to help him live. Mm-hmm. She took that away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Why? There's no reason. And dogs, especially service dogs, you can get them where they need to go with, mm-hmm. with that person. There's a lot of different things that help, unless, unfortunately, if it's a pit bull, which I don't even want to get into because that's absolutely crazy. I love them. But yeah, I mean, for a doodle to travel, there are nothing holding them back.
Yeah, there's nothing. So that's the update for this week. Any final thoughts?
I hope they're found alive. I hope the psychic's wrong. I hope all of this was just for show and to get attention and, you know, book sales. I'm hoping that's what it all was. Do I think that's true? Not really, but that's my hope.
I just hope that law enforcement chooses their, which it seems like they are, the FBI especially, I hope they choose their actions very, very carefully. And I hope we do not wake up one day with news of Lori and Chad having committed a double suicide and no, you know, further answers.
Right.
So
agreed.
Indeed.
Well, until some more updates.
Indeed.
Let us know if you see anything or have seen something that we haven't. Mm-hmm. I would love to read it.
Indeed. And don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at We Saw the Devil, Facebook at We Saw the Devil, and Instagram at We Saw the Devil Podcast. Now, we are also officially now on Patreon. So if you enjoyed this podcast, if you like the information that we provide, and you want to hear more, we can't do this without you. And we would love to have you as a supporter. So please check out our Patreon. You can find it at We Saw the Devil on Patreon, and we have some really cool, I think, tiers, hand-drawn art, cookies, and t-shirts, and a variety of things. So check it out. Thanks so much again for listening, and we will see you next week with another Lori Vallow update, and also we're starting a new true crime case. Until next week. We'll be right back.